This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements, surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule, verified by rigorous independent testing. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/biotics research. That's drhoffman.com/biotics research for Biomega Fish Oil.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to another hour of the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. 877-726-8255 is our number. We'll be taking some of your calls momentarily. COVID-19 is still with us, and there's a lot of cases, but we seem to be getting a better handle on how to treat patients to keep them from going down that slippery slope towards being on a ventilator. And ultimately succumbing to the disease, not to minimize it. It can be very, very serious. But there may be a simple economical solution to COVID-19. And we're talking about these miracle drugs, remdesivir, which was approved, and it's kind of controversial. Its approval was kind of sketchy because some studies say that it doesn't really work. And then there's the monoclonal antibodies, the stuff that was talked up by President Trump, made him feel great, so he said. And although he was on a real combination of therapies, including some supplements, vitamin D and zinc, and probably some other things. Headline here, aspirin may help prevent serious COVID-19 complications. Researchers say aspirin may help people hospitalized with COVID-19 because of the drug's abilities to reduce the risk of blood clots. In a preliminary study, University of Maryland School of Medicine, researchers reported that people taking aspirin, get this, were 44% less likely to be put on a ventilator and 43% less likely to be admitted to the intensive care unit. And the researchers also reported that those who took aspirin had a 47% decrease in risk of dying from COVID-19 when compared with those who were not taking a daily dose of aspirin. So this is fascinating, and it's going to result in a big study in the UK. Painkiller aspirin will be evaluated as a possible treatment for COVID-19 in one of Britain's biggest trials. 2,000 patients are expected to randomly get two what are termed baby aspirins, you know, 81 milligrams of aspirin daily. They're going to get 150 milligrams, which is roughly 2 81 milligram doses of aspirin daily. And data with those patients will be compared with at least 2,000 other patients who receive the standard COVID-19 treatment on its own. So real boost for aspirin. And, you know, when it comes to, you know, should everybody over the age of, whatever, 40 be taking an aspirin? The answer is decidedly no, because we would prevent some heart attacks. That's what it originally was designated for. But only among high-risk individuals and at the expense of lots and lots of bleeding episodes, gastrointestinal bleeding being a side effect of aspirin, even at relatively low doses. And so many people come to harm because of daily aspirin use that it outweighs the benefits of a population-wide edict that anyone over a certain age, you know, seniors or people over 40 or 50 or whatever the cutoff they use, that everybody should be taking aspirin. That's a mistake. That's been acknowledged. So how do you determine who should be a candidate for daily aspirin? And the answer is something I've been talking about for a long time, the coronary calcium score. Get a coronary calcium score because they say that in this study, in the University of Texas, an X-ray test commonly used to assess hardening the arteries could help doctors decide whether the benefits of taking aspirin to prevent a first heart attack or stroke outweigh the risks of bleeding from its use. And that's how I use it. I have patients get a coronary artery calcium score. And what they found is that aspirin's benefits only outweighed its risks for those with coronary artery calcium scores above 100. For this group, the risk of arteriosclerosis, arteriosclerotic cardiovascular disease, was about 15-fold, and the bleeding risk about 3-fold of those with a calcium score of 0. So if you got a 0 score, don't bother taking aspirin. If you have been exposed to COVID-19, you're concerned you may be coming down with it or you're starting to get sick, maybe that's a good time to take a couple of aspirins a day, the low-dose aspirin. If you're admitted to hospital, well, that's going to become common practice. I think it's going to be adopted. They say aspirin use is not a one-size-fits-all therapy, but coronary artery calcium scanning can be a valuable tool to help us tailor care to help more patients avoid a first heart attack or stroke. So, yeah, aspirin plays a role, but it's not for everyone. 877-726-8255 is our number, and people can record a question. Maybe they're a little busy today as the election results roll in, but let's take one of our recorded calls now.
Hi, Doctor. I'm calling about my vitamin D level. It's 106, and I thought that was a bit high, but my doctor didn't seem to think so. It's normally between 70 and 80. I was just wondering what you thought about that level. Thank you.
That is a bit high. You know, we generally consider the cutoff to be 100. We don't want to see it above 100. Ideally, we want to see it 50 to 70, maybe up to 80. You know, certain conditions like certain cancers, certain autoimmune diseases, we may push it higher, right up to the threshold of near 100. But above 100, that's when problems can occur. Muscle weakness, sometimes calcium stones, high levels of blood calcium. So we want to keep it below 100, in my opinion. I mean, obviously your doctor is a vitamin D zealot and wants to have his or her patients have high levels of vitamin D, but I would cut back a little bit. Maybe, you know, for a while, cut back to 1,000 IUs per day, for a couple of weeks, and then resume at a lower dose than what you're on. I mean, I'd have to know what dose you're on to tell you how much to cut back to. But, you know, different strokes for different folks. Some people take, you know, 5 or 10 or even 15,000 international units of vitamin D, and they only push it up to, like, you know, 70, 80, and it doesn't go over 100. Other people seem to absorb it more readily, and even by taking as little as 5,000 a day, they can sometimes push up past that. Rarely, but sometimes they can push up past 100. So if you're taking high doses of vitamin D, not a bad idea from time to time, maybe every 6 months, get a vitamin D test. Usually people don't run into trouble. I read of a case recently where somebody was taking high doses of vitamin D for multiple sclerosis. It's an autoimmune disease. They say high levels of vitamin D are protective, but they were taking 100,000 international units a day. So for a long time, and they ended up with astronomically high levels of vitamin D toxicity. They had the person stop taking vitamin D, and it took a while for the vitamin D levels to subside and the symptoms to improve. But it is a reversible problem. You know, the damage is usually not permanent and can be alleviated by simply not taking vitamin D at such high doses. All right, there you have it. 877-726-8255, our number. We'll be right back with more of Intelligent Medicine.
Now more than ever, it is important to have a healthy immune system. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are a leading natural therapy for boosting immune health. Why? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily, like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics with their postbiotic metabolites, you can enhance your overall immune system and immune response. For additional immune support, get RegActive's immune formula to boost your glutathione levels, since our glutathione levels go down if we feel stressed. Maintaining glutathione levels is a key factor for natural defense. For a short-term immune boost, try Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus, which provides probiotic and immune support and includes Brazilian green propolis for superior antioxidant support and vitamin E, astaxanthin, and flax oil. Be proactive about your immune health. Ask your retailer today about Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, RegActive Immune Formula, and Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus today. Also available online.
As an Intelligent Medicine listener, you know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. But vetting your sources and tracking down the exact products you need can be a hassle. That's why I'm inviting you to browse my online supplement dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. We stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients and take myself. My specially curated professional-grade supplements are fulfilled via the FullScript network. FullScript is the safest and most convenient way to purchase my medical-grade supplements. Buying through FullScript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant, and offers world-class support. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to sign up for your free FullScript account. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. 877-726-8255, our number. And let's take one of those recorded questions. People can call in and they can record a question at that number.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I'm calling in regard to my husband's cholesterol, HDL 85, LDL calculated 113, non-HDL 124, ratio 2.46, cholesterol 209, triglycerides 55. His doctor wants to put him on statins. I say, find another doctor. What say you? Thank you.
Okay. I got to say, sometimes you got to vote with your feet when it comes to cholesterol management, because I may sound like a broken record on this subject, but doctors too often are practicing what I call paint-by-numbers medicine, which is based on guidelines that tell you that cholesterol is the enemy. Anytime cholesterol is over 100, or in particular if LDL is over 100, that we've got to somehow lower it artificially with statin medication. I'm not going to say conclusively that he's free of risk. The only way I could determine that is if I could take a look at his coronary artery calcium score. And that's a test that you should undergo, because if indeed, as I suspect, when he has such a high HDL cholesterol, which is often protective, it turns out that he has zero or very minimal coronary artery calcification, the statins would be a waste of time. But it seems like they're looking for any pretext to put people on statins. You're old, you're a guy, you have a slightly high cholesterol. What's particularly good about this is he has a mid single digit triglyceride, which means that he probably doesn't have metabolic syndrome, which is a major driver of coronary artery disease and cardiovascular risk. When your triglycerides are low, it means you're following a relatively low-carb diet, low glycemic index, not a lot of refined carbohydrates, not a lot of fructose-sweetened drinks, and that's a very good sign. So, if you're a patient of mine, I'd say probably don't worry. If you want some additional reassurance that there's no problem, get a coronary artery calcium scan, and you can be vindicated in terms of your cardiovascular risk. But, it's unfortunate. Doctors, I think, are just too fixated on that. And, what are you going to do with otherwise healthy 70-year-old guy? You don't feel like you're doing your job unless you're pushing across a prescription across the table to the patient when they're doing such a great job on their own. And speaking of cardiovascular prevention, here's something that should be in your cardiovascular preventive protocol. It's fish oil. And for a suite of Biomega fish oil products from Biotics Research, it's a brand that I trust. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements, surpassing industry standards. Biomega fish oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. And part of what sets Biomega fish oil apart is that they offer multiple formulations to suit your individual needs. 1,000 milligram or 500 milligram soft gel capsules, and an easy liquid formula for those who struggle with swallowing pills. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule, verified by rigorous independent testing. You want your fish oil to be pure and free of contaminants. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch. That's drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch for Biomega fish oil. Now, okay, I'm going to double down on this theme of cardiovascular prevention. There are all kinds of drugs out there for cardiovascular prevention, and we're really fixated on statins, and now they're more powerful cholesterol-lowering drugs that are expensive. They have to be injected. Lots of doctors are pushing them. But here's one that has been around for literally millennia. And I'm talking back to the time of the Egyptians. If you look at ancient Egyptian tombs, you see depictions of something called the autumn crocus plant. It grows in the Mediterranean region, and it's native to Egypt. And that is a source of a powerful anti-inflammatory medication that's been used for centuries. It's colchicine. Colchicine is used for the treatment of gout, which is an inflammatory disorder. We now know that cardiovascular disease is not just a cholesterol problem. It's also an inflammatory condition. The inflammation attacks the inner lining of the arteries called the endothelium, and C-reactive protein, a marker of inflammation, is an important risk factor for cardiovascular disease. Well, in a new trial, they reveal the anti-inflammatory effects of colchicine to reduce the risk of cardiovascular events in patients who'd suffered a heart attack. It's published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and there was a dramatic reduction in subsequent heart attacks. Now, these people are vulnerable. This is not just for, you know, ordinary individuals. You know, got a little high cholesterol, take colchicine. It's a medication that has potential side effects, but low-dose colchicine, well-tolerated, reduced subsequent heart attacks in patients who've had MIs in the past. So, very interesting, and hopefully will usher in greater acceptance of the use of colchicine, an old-fashioned drug, relatively inexpensive, for the treatment of cardiovascular disease. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and it's 877-726-8255 for calls. Let's take one of those recorded calls from this week.
Yeah, Dr. Hoffman, here's the deal. The coronavirus, what's the story? Now, I hear all kinds of things about you got to wear the mask, you got to do this, you got to do that. So all I'd like to know is how the heck do you know if you got it? That's the key. I appreciate you're trying to help people out there that need the advice from a medical professional. Okay.
Okay. You know, so that is actually is kind of an interesting question because it turns out that a fairly high percentage of people who have it and may be spreaders, may be contagious, may be asymptomatic. Okay? So this makes it's actually a pretty brilliant strategy on the part of a virus. If you think about it, I mean, the virus is not an intelligent entity, but it is subject to natural selection. And this one is uniquely successful in spreading itself and proliferating precisely because some people who have it barely notice they have it, and then they're not constrained. I mean, if they were very sick, if it was like Ebola, you know, where they're bleeding from the ears and the mouth and they're very obvious and they're, you know, on death's door within hours of acquiring it, they can be sequestered and they don't feel much like, you know, going to political rallies or partying or going to bars. So it's not spread. But a virus that's kind of insidious like this can spread more easily. It's certainly very contagious, and in some people it's barely noticeable. So the way that you may know that you have it, it's kind of indistinguishable from the flu. It's hard to determine. Some people who feel like they have COVID-19, they have an ordinary respiratory infection, the flu or something like that. Although the flu isn't that bad this year because so many people are wearing masks and socially distancing and sequestering. It's probably going to help us with the flu this season. The symptoms are similar to the flu and overlap. Fever is a symptom sometimes, but it's not a reliable thing. You know, when you go to some place, a store or something, or, you know, some event, they put a, you know, like entering a building even in Manhattan, sometimes they'll do a thermometer check. Well, that's not a very good way to pick it up. I mean, if you're very sick, you're going to have a fever. But quite often, people with COVID-19 don't have a fever. They may have a sore throat. They may have fatigue and body aches. One of the kind of unique signs of COVID-19, even in people with minor versions of it, is they lose their taste and smell. It seems to uniquely attack the olfactory sense, and that is one of the hallmarks of this. So as long as, you know, you can smell food and bad odors, that's a fairly good sign that you probably don't have it. The problem comes in where, you know, perhaps somebody calls you up and says, hey, you know, I got to let you know that I just been diagnosed with COVID-19 and you've been hanging around with me, you know, whatever. We've had some contact. And so you better get checked. And you feel fine, but you still need to get checked. And the problem there is that it takes a while often to get results. So you're in a state of uncertainty for 48 up to 72 hours while your test, your nasal swab, is being processed. There are rapid tests, but the rapid tests sometimes are false positives. Especially if you don't feel well, there's a kind of a greater likelihood that you'll get a false positive than a true positive. And that's what happened in the case of some of these sports teams. They say, oh, you know, they do the rapid testing. It's like point of service testing, where immediate, you know, you wait 15 minutes, you get results. Those tests sometimes are not accurate. And then with a confirmatory test that you have to usually wait for, you send it to a lab and it has to be processed, the test then comes out negative. And so the answer is it's tricky. And that's one of the disconcerting elements, as they say, well, we need more testing. Well, more testing doesn't necessarily lead to better diagnosis and prevention of this. And, you know, that's the dilemma. It's like, you know, what could we be doing better? More contact tracing? Well, the contact tracing doesn't necessarily mean that you've acquired it. It just means that you may have come into contact with somebody who has it. And does that mean that you need to be out of circulation for 10 days or 14 days to stem the tide of this? May help, and or it may be useless, you know. So there's still more to learn about this, and we don't really haven't really turned the corner on it. But those are some of the ways that you can determine if you are likely to have it. Unfortunately, the testing's not perfect. 877-726-8255 is our number. Regardless of whether you're trying to make a comeback from COVID-19, there's a lot of COVID-19 long haulers. They experience something akin to chronic fatigue syndrome. And if that's your problem, or if you're suffering from ordinary fatigue, here's something that I suggest. Cellular health may start to decline as early as 25 years of age, increasing your fatigue. Let me tell you about the only nutritional formula clinically proven to repair damaged cells via the mitochondria. It's NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics. Clinical trials have shown that NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half. It also reduces some of the effects of aging. NT Factor is available in a variety of formulations tailored to your specific needs. Full spectrum vitamin mineral formulas, immune support formulas, targeted nutrition, and pure NT Factor that you can add to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking. I've been using NT Factor for years. Don't go a day without it. And I prescribe it for my patients. With a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose now. You can find the NT Factor line of nutritional formulas at your favorite health food store or online retailer. Or to order direct, call 800-982-9158. 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. They got a new user-friendly website. They're very proud of it, so check it out. ntfactor.com. Okay, this item in relationship to the season change. Last week it was really awfully cold. And this weekend here in the Northeast, it's warm. People are out there in shirt sleeves celebrating the victory of their political candidate. It's unseasonably warm, but sure enough, it's going to get colder. And a lot of people believe, and this is just popular belief, that there's a relationship between achy joints and rainy, cold weather. Right? And some people can say, I feel it coming on. It's going to be rainy. I feel it in my knee. My knee is like a barometer. And there's actually a plausible explanation for that, because with barometric pressure changes, maybe there's low pressure, which allows the joints to swell a little bit. High pressure compresses the joints like a compression garment. And so maybe there's something to it. Okay, well, I studied this. New research from Harvard Medical School says there is no relationship between rainfall and joint or back pain. Do you believe this? A lot of people say, that's just those pointy-headed scientists at Harvard. Let me tell you, from my perspective, I could tell you when it rains. The study examined Medicare records, more than 11 million primary care office visits, and they correlated it with rainy weather. They asked, did more patients seek care for back pain or joint pain when it rained or following periods of rainy weather? The answer was no rain effect. What is going on? The human brain's good at finding patterns. So if you expect your knee to hurt when it rains and it doesn't, you forget about it. But say it's about to rain and your knee hurts and you kind of go, yep, that's my achy knee acting up in the cold, rainy weather. You blame it on the rain. and it becomes an embedded pattern in your mind. So they say at Harvard Medical School, perhaps you yourself know better. And another aspect to season change, seasonal depression. You know, seasonal depression is always a big problem because it gets colder, people stay inside, and it gets darker. And there is, in fact, a clinical diagnosis of seasonal affective disorder. People who just hate the cold, dreary, dark months. And this can be treated. It can be treated with light therapy, getting an SAD light, put it in your bedroom when you wake up. Even if you wake up in virtual darkness, you can extend the day. And that can be helpful for seasonal depression. They say that 5% of Americans deal with seasonal depression. This is clinical seasonal depression. I think some people get, you know, minor mood problems associated with season change, but 5% have clinical SAD. But they say that it could be amplified in 2020. Why is that? Well, for some people who have allegiance to a certain political party, that may be exacerbated by the election. And because of the lockdown, people aren't getting out as much. So how do you cope with seasonal depression? Get more light. Make sure you get out in the morning. Take a walk at the very least. Outdoor activities help. Get some of that sunlight in your eyes. Fun place, go outside. Hey, nobody says you got to sequester. You got to shelter in place. You can get outside and you can beat the season change with a little bit of outdoor activity, especially on a nice weekend like this. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, I'm a big proponent of CBD oil to help my patients, but I also recommend CBD to healthy adults to tonify the endocannabinoid system. I've found that it helps people relax and can support restful sleep, a real breakthrough in herbal products. The CBD brand I take personally and recommend to my patients is Plus CBD from CV Sciences. And now I'm excited about a new product from Plus CBD. Plus CBD Maximum Strength Soft Gels. New Plus CBD Maximum Strength Soft Gels provide higher levels of CBD for the greatest impact on everyday health. This new product enables you to take fewer capsules to achieve an impactful level of CBD. And with pre-measured servings and no hemp flavor, Plus CBD Maximum Strength Soft Gels are a no-mess, no-fuss way to take advantage of CBD's myriad benefits. To learn more and to order, visit pluscbdoil.com and use coupon code Hoffman for 20% off. That's pluscbdoil.com. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch. That's drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch. Research for Biomega Fish Oil.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. 877-726-8255. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and let's take one of those recorded questions from this week.
I have a question regarding liver enzymes, AST in particular. Just a little background. I'm a 70-year-old male. Blood pressure has always been less than 120 over 80. My BMI is 22. Don't drink soda, alcohol. I take no prescriptions. I do take supplements. During the course of the last 2 years, I've had 4 blood tests, and my AST score was 40. Then it went down to 38. Then it went down to 37. And my last one done in August was 42. I haven't been going to the gym 3 times a week like I have, but I have been walking 5 to 6 miles a day, 1.5 hours, 5 times a week. Could exercise cause the increase in the AST score? And what supplements would you recommend? Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. So what he's talking about is AST, which is one of the liver function tests. There's ALT and AST. And it's slightly elevated. You know, it depends on the lab. The cutoff is sometimes 32, 35, maybe 38. And his AST is hovering at the upper limits of normal, which is not too worrisome. I mean, what one looks for sometimes in following these blood tests is a trend. You know, is it going up, 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 up? You know, like watching, for example, a PSA, you know, it's a prostate test that sometimes is indicative of the presence of cancer. Like one test that's a little bit high, okay, maybe the next test is lower, so no biggie. But if it's high and then it's a little higher and then progressively higher, then you got to start to investigate. Same thing with the liver. You know, there's some simple tests that can evaluate the liver. You can get a ultrasound test to see if your liver looks normal, if it's enlarged, or if there's a fatty liver. But it sounds like you're a healthy guy. You know, you exercise a lot, and you listen to this program, and you take supplements. The supplements to watch out for in terms of liver toxicity, high doses of niacin or vitamin B3 can have an adverse effect on the liver. Certain medications can have an adverse effect on the liver, but you sound like a, you know, healthy 70-year-old guy who's probably not taking a lot of medication. Statins are notorious for raising LFTs, liver function tests. And, you know, doctors routinely will look at people on statins with a AST of like 60, 70. They'll go, that's not a biggie. I know why you got it, because you're taking a medication that puts a little stress in your liver. Well, that's not good, but at least they know what's causing it. One of the more common causes of elevations in AST is too much in the way of booze. You don't sound like a big you know, party goer to me. And, you know, another cause could be metabolic syndrome, but with a BMI of what, 20-something, 22, you know, it sounds like you're carrying extra fat on your rack. Some people can be relatively thin and yet still be consuming too many carbohydrates, which can cause fatty liver. I don't know what kind of diet you're on, but it sounds like you're on a sensible diet. I wouldn't worry about it. What are some of the things that can help your liver? You may want to take some milk thistle. You can take some NAC, N-acetylcysteine. Avoid Tylenol, by the way. Tylenol has an adverse effect on liver function. And consider something like alpha-lipoic acid. That may be helpful for optimizing your liver function. Now, as to exercise, you know, exercise is not notorious for worsening liver function. I don't really see that anywhere in the literature that excess exercise puts a burden on the liver. So, you know, it just, you know, you're exercising more, you're exercising less, the number's going up a point or two, it's going down a point or two. Don't attempt to make a correlation between your exercise levels and the results of those tests. I don't think that's pay dirt in terms of causation of this slight, very slight glitch in your liver test. I wouldn't worry about it. All right. Here's proof positive that diet can contribute to inflammatory bowel disease. It's a study from University of Texas, and it's an animal study, but it's likely to be applicable to humans. Mice fed diets high in sugar develop worse colitis. And researchers found that their intestines contained more of the bacteria that can damage the gut's protective mucus layer. So, you know, what is it about the West where we see a lot of ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, relatively new diseases, because they're not too much of that in the past. Yeah, rich people in the past who could afford eating a lot of pastry and a lot of sugar got it. But common people less afflicted by ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. Now, 2 million people in 1999, 3 million in 2015. What's up with that? It could be related to the high sugar diets of Americans. All right, what are some of the consequences of lockdown? Well, social isolation. Yeah, we tell people to socially distance, and for some people, they're sequestered, they're alone, not a lot of social contact. Loneliness and social isolation can have a negative impact on the mental health of older adults. And now, in a study from a Canadian study on aging, it's associated with hypertension in women. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks very much for joining us. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Check us out at drhoffman.com. Download our podcast and become a more informed listener to Intelligent Medicine. Have a great weekend.